You know, Central has a big investment in missions. Not only do we give substantial monies to the missionary program, but we have a doctor in our congregation, and he and his wife are going on a short-term mission. And he's just shutting down his practice to go and do that for a while for the honor and glory of God and for the welfare of people. We have a young couple in our church, and he's the director of the Campus Crusade Ministry at the University of Missouri, a member of our church, David and Jeanette Culver. David, will you and Jeanette just stand up so they can see you? There's our missionaries to Colombia, and boy, do they need it. How would you like to be a missionary? It may be that you're qualified in the Presbyterian College in Korea. They desperately need someone to come for a minimum of 4 months and a maximum of 2 years to teach English. Are you qualified to teach English? Would you be willing to go and serve God in Korea for a little while? You think about that and pray about that, because if you are qualified to teach English, God needs you in Korea for a while. Now, today we're going to talk about communications. You know, we're not always communicating. It's like the lady who wanted to buy some records, but she thought she better check with the record shop to see if they had them, so she called, but she misdialed one of the numbers. And the man answered the phone, and she said, "Do you have eyes of blue and love that's real?" He says, "No, but I have a wife and 2 children, and 11 children. And she said, "A wife and 11 children, is that a record?" He says, "No, but it's as close as I want to get." Communicating is important, you know, and being sensitive to each other. And that's what I want to talk about this morning. It's like the man that was reading the paper at the breakfast table and rather insensitive to his wife. He said, "You're not going to believe this, Margaret, but in the gossip column it says that you packed your bag and left me." "Margaret?" If you'll turn in your Bibles, please. Today I begin my 15th year. Begin 15 years as your pastor. With that kind of story, I may not survive much longer. The Gospel according to St. James. The book of James comes after St. Paul's letters, immediately after the book of Hebrews. So if you'll turn to chapter 1. St. Paul puts a big emphasis, St. James puts a big emphasis on doing the things of God. And if you would read chapter 1 and underscore every time he uses the word "let" in verse 4, "and let steadfastness have its full effect." Verse 5, "If any of you lacks wisdom, let him ask God." If you underscored the number of "lets" in chapter 1, you'd be surprised. Now we're going to begin reading at verse 19 and read to the end of the chapter. We believe that the Bible is the only infallible rule to guide us in our faith and in our practice. Therefore, to know God's will and God's way, we go to God's Word. The Bible is the Word of God. Hear what God says to us in this portion of His Word. "Know this, my beloved brethren, let every man be quick to hear, slow to speak, slow to anger." That's what I'm going to be talking about basically this morning, communication. "For the anger of man does not work the righteousness of God. Therefore, put away all filthiness and rank growth of wickedness, and receive with meekness the implanted word which is able to save your souls." So we're talking about speaking, and he says the word that's really important is God's word, because it saves our souls. "But be doers of the word, not hearers only, deceiving yourselves." And that's our theme, is how do you become a doer of the word? "For if anyone is a hearer of the word and not a doer, he is like a man who observes his natural face in a mirror. For For he observes himself and goes away and at once forgets what he was like. But he who looks into the perfect law, the law of liberty, and perseveres, being no hearer that forgets, but a doer that acts, he shall be blessed in his doing. If anyone thinks he is religious, and here we're back to words again, and does not bridle his tongue, but deceives his heart, this man's religion is vain. And now, unexpectedly, and almost it seems out of context, he drops in this sentence. Religion that is pure and undefiled before God and the Father is this: to visit orphans and widows in their affliction and to keep oneself unstained from the world. Doesn't it strike you as strange that that kind of comment would be dropped into the middle of a discussion about words? We'll come back to that. Our meditation is entitled, Hearing Aids for Deaf Christians, but be doers of the word and not hearers only, deceiving yourselves. May God bless to us this reading from his holy word. To his name be praise and glory forever and ever. Amen. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit, let us pray. Father, we're talking about words today. We pray especially that you'll open your word to us, that we can understand it. Impact our lives, we pray, that we might be doers of the word. For we ask it in the name of him who is the word, even Jesus. Amen. Our scripture for this morning says that we should be quick to hear, slow to speak, and slow to anger. I want to talk about hearing for a moment. How good is your hearing? Physically, as you get older, it's probably not as good as it was. But I'm not talking about the ability to hear sound, but the ability to hear people. Do you really hear other people? Do you really hear what your spouse says to you? Do you really hear what your children say to you? You see, people communicate with one another on at least two levels. The first level is the intellectual level. If you and I are having a conversation, hopefully it will have a certain amount of intellectual content. But underneath the intellectual level of that conversation, of what we're saying, is the emotional feeling, the emotional content of what each of us is trying to communicate to the other about ourselves and our feelings. Now, suppose I've had a hard day and things have gone badly at the office, and when I go home, I'm down, I'm depressed, and I have a desperate need for some demonstration to me that I'm loved and cared about, that I'm a person of worth. But suppose when I get home, Sydney's busy cooking something and she just speaks to me and goes back to it, or maybe busy helping Amy with her lessons. And I say something to her like this: you spend too much time with the children. Now, what am I really saying? What is the emotional content of what I've said? Well, I may have said it poorly, and I said it in such a way that the intellectual content may be an accusation or a charge against my wife that she may respond to badly if she's just listening intellectually. But what I'm really saying emotionally is, please pay some attention to me. I'm hurting. You know, there's a real art to hearing each other. Most of the marriage counseling I do has to do with breakdowns in communication. Couples simply don't hear each other. They hear the intellectual content, which may create conflict, but they miss the emotional feeling that each is expressing to the other. But the Bible says we ought to be quick to hear. Did you ever stop to wonder why it is we don't listen to the feelings being expressed by another? Well, the scripture lesson this morning says there are a couple of reasons. First, we're quick to speak. That means our own needs so control our lives, we're so eager to share our own feelings with others that minister to us, that we don't have time or we don't have ears to listen to the needs of another. Are you guilty of that? Does that ever happen to you?
Are your own needs and emotions such that you are so anxious for others to know how you feel, so eager to communicate your needs or your pain, that you don't even want to hear their needs and feelings? I think that's true of most of us. We're so focused in on ourselves, we don't have time to be sensitive to the needs of others, especially those closest to us. So the Bible says to be quick to hear and slow to speak. That means to try hard to really hear the feelings others are expressing to you. It also means to be slow to express your own needs. Now that means two things. First, I can't hear what you're saying about you. You can't hear what your wife or your husband is saying to you if you're only waiting for that person to shut up so you can tell about you. But secondly, it means thinking about what I'm saying. That is, am I really saying what I want to say? Is my intellectual conversation communicating also the real feeling I'm trying to express? Because I can be guilty of confusing you about what my real needs and my real hurts are. But then the Bible goes on to say something else. It says, be slow to anger. Did it occur to you that that's a rather odd coupling of words? The Bible says, be quick to hear, slow to speak, and that's about conversation and communication, and they belong together, but why add and be slow to anger? You see, anger is an emotion, at least on the surface, that seems unrelated to hearing and speaking. But if hearing has to do to my being sensitive to what you're expressing, and if speaking has to do with the needs I'm sharing with you, then anger has to do with the relationship of those two. See how it works. I read recently of some schoolboys who didn't like what was served them in the school cafeteria, and so in a peak of anger, they began to throw dishes and food about. The teacher began to rebuke them and said, if I invited you to my home and served you something you didn't like, would you break up my dishes and throw food on the wall? Oh, no, replied the children. And why not, asked the teacher. Because, said the boys, you're our teacher. And that's simply a way of saying that they loved and respected her as a person of worth. But the cook, on the other hand, was not considered to be a person of worth, and therefore they could treat him with an anger which showed disrespect for him as a human being. Now, isn't that how it is with anger? Basically, there are two kinds of anger. One is an offensive anger that arises out of contempt or disrespect or disregard for other people. And, you know, we begin to treat our spouse that way with disrespect and disregard. The second kind of anger is a defensive anger, when my own sense of self is threatened. When you say something or do something to me that threatens my security, that threatens my self-image, then I respond in a defensive anger. Do you remember how it was when you were dating the person you married? You were trying to win the love and affection of that person. But after you got married, did anything happen? Has your temper differed before and after marriage? Think about the last time you and your mate had an argument. Maybe it was yesterday or last week. But think about the last argument you had with your mate. Would you have responded to him or her before you got married as you responded the other day? And if you responded differently the other day, why has that happened? Is it because you no longer need or want to treat your mate with the same respect and courtesy as a person of worth? Is that why? So the Bible says to be quick to hear, to care about the other as a person of worth who has needs and emotions that you should be sensitive to, that you reach out to care and to love and to minister to that person, and slow to speak. That is, slow to dump your emotional needs on another person. slow to anger, that is, slow to be defensive about self and slow to be offensive in the sense of treating that person as less than a person of worth. Now, that's why our scripture ends with this verse. And it's kind of strange. Religion that is pure and undefiled before God and the Father is this. Has been talking about language and anger and relationships, and suddenly it says that pure religion and undefiled before God and the Father is this, to visit orphans and widows in their affliction and to keep oneself unstained from the world. Now, why would visiting widows and orphans be so important? Isn't it because they, of all people, are so vulnerable, so in need of love and care? Who can be more lonely than an orphan or a widow who have no one anymore to love them and care for them? And pure religion, then, is to have a heart for them. And if you have a heart for them, it means that you can have a heart for others. Quick to hear, slow to speak, slow to anger. And what does it mean to keep myself unstained from the world? It means that I don't let my needs and my emotions so control me that I'm not slow to speak. Well, there it is. Caring about others, controlling oneself. It's quick to hear, slow to speak, and slow to anger. The other day I read a story that may illustrate this for us. It's a story about a boy named Mike who was creating trouble at school, and the teachers were ready for the principal to expel him. And so the principal called him in, and he was praying. He said, God, help me to minister to this boy. I know that there's great dynamic and power and potential in him. Help me to expose it. So Mike came in, and surly and snarling, and his eyes averted, and slumped down in his chair disrespectfully. And the principal looked at him and just let the silence grow. And finally he said, Mike, show me your hands, will you? And in astonishment, Mike held out his hands. And the principal took them in his and turned them over. Then thoughtfully he said, you know, Mike, you've got long, sensitive fingers. Those are strong hands, son. You know what you've got? You've got the hands of a surgeon. What a surgeon you could be with those hands. You could take a scalpel in your fingers and go into the human body and find the trouble and make a body well again. You've got wonderful hands, Mike. And that was all he said and dismissed him. And Mike stumbled in confusion out of his office. But a dream had been born. He'd been treated as a person of worth who had something valuable and worthwhile to give to the world. And Mike went on to college and medical school and today is an outstanding surgeon. And why? Because somebody was quick to hear, slow to speak, and slow to anger. How are you relating to your spouse? How are you getting along with your children? How is it between you and the people at work? With your friends and neighbors? Are you quick to hear them? Are you really listening to what they're saying to you about their emotional needs? Are you treating them as persons of worth? People who are important? Yes, are you slow to speak, slow to anger? Now, this brings me to our text for today. It says, but be doers of the word and not hearers only, deceiving yourself. Now, I do that all the time. I deceive myself. I read my Bible. I study religious books. I pray. I write sermons. And sometimes I begin to think, well, I'm pretty good. But then I end up in life not doing the things that God tells me to do. I've deceived myself. I've turned right around and not been a doer of the word. Are you guilty of that? I suspect most of us are. But the Bible says that we are to be doers of the word and not hearers only, because just to hear and not do is to deceive ourselves. Well, if I'm to be what the Bible tells me to be, quick to hear, slow to speak, slow to anger, how can I do that? How do I become a doer of the word? How can I change? Here's the only way. By an act of my will, you see, I am a free person with the freedom to make a decision. You have that freedom this morning. God gives it to you. He gives you the power to make the decision I'm going to talk about. You, by an act of your will, can surrender your heart to Jesus Christ. And when by an act of your will you do that, Jesus Christ meets every need of your heart. Jesus says, "Come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, I will give you rest." And when you come to him, he does that. His promise is good. When by an act of your will you come to him, he gives you that peace and rest. The Bible says, "Cast your cares upon him, for he cares for you." And how I deal with my needs and my failures and my emotions is to take them to Jesus. The Bible says, "Cast your burdens on the Lord. He will sustain you." And when I've got my own needs met, when by an act of my will I've surrendered to him and he has blessed me and as a promise keeper has kept his promises, then I'm freed up to be quick to hear, slow to speak, and slow to anger. Does that make sense to you? There's so much tragedy in the world today, so much brokenness between people, so much hostility, so much anger, so many quick words that can never be said or taken back, so much unkindness, so much treating each other with disdain and lack of love and respect. And how do we break that cycle? Well, somebody's got to break it by an act of his or her will, surrendering heart to Jesus, having those needs so met that one then is freed up to respond to others, to be a doer of the word, quick to hear, slow to speak, slow to anger. At your house, somebody needs to do that. Maybe it's you. Let us pray. God, we really do need to be doers of the word and not just hearers or talkers, but doers acting. I pray that each of us will make a commitment right now that we're going to try to listen to the kinds of emotional content, the feeling that others have when they're talking to us, so that we can really hear them. And help us to be so secure in Jesus that we'll have the emotional strength, the spiritual strength, to respond to those needs with love and compassion and understanding and reach out to each other by an act of our wills. Help us to so give our hearts to you that we'll be free to be quick to hear, slow to speak, slow to anger, doers of the word. But we ask it in Jesus' name. Amen.